Continuing on with our series of questions, the next one we're asking is, what is faith in Jesus Christ? You know, we talk a lot about having faith in Jesus, but what do we actually mean by that? And there's a few, quite a few different perspectives on what faith is. And when you ask someone if they have faith in Christ, they might say yes, but they could mean different things. And so I want to just look at a few different ideas about what faith in Jesus is, and then we'll talk about the biblical perspective. So probably the first one that we could look at is you could term as historical faith. And so this is faith where someone says that they believe that Jesus was a real person. And they might say things like they believe he was a good moral teacher. They believe that he was born and that he was crucified. They usually won't go to the resurrection stuff. That's too much for them. But they will believe that he was a real person. In fact, you know, if you ask a person of the Islamic faith if they believe in Jesus, they would probably say yes. Because they recognize Jesus as a prophet, but not as the Son of God. And so historical faith is one thing. Often it's rooted in tradition, but it's not really faith that grabs hold of the heart. We see this in Acts chapter 26 and verse 25. Paul is talking to King Agrippa. So Paul's been arrested by the Jews, and he's been sort of shuffled around, and they're trying to find a way to put him to death. Anyway, he's having this conversation with King Agrippa, and also Festus is present as well, who was a Roman ruler. And Paul is talking to them and he says, what I'm saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things and I cannot speak freely. And I can speak freely to him. I'm convinced that none of this has escaped his notice because it was not done in a corner. And King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. And then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul replied, short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today will become what I am, except for these chains. And so Paul's talking to Agrippa and Festus, and he appeals to the fact that King Agrippa understands the history of the Jewish people, and he also understands that Jesus was a teacher, you know, that he was rabbi, that he was someone worth listening to, and he was explaining that Jesus is actually the fulfillment of all of the prophets. And he's saying, I know you understand the prophets. And Agrippa's response is, well, yeah, I believe all that, but don't try and turn me into a Christian. In other words, I have historical faith, but I don't have faith in the resurrected Christ. And interestingly, there are groups that would call themselves Christians that only have a historical faith in Jesus. We've talked about them in the last sort of few weeks. But there are groups who would say that Christianity is all about the moral teachings of Jesus, and it's about being good people and doing the best we can, and, you know, making sure we look after people who are downtrodden and ostracized and so on. And that's the Christian message. And then when Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't as a substitution for us. It was an example of self-sacrifice and self-giving. And so their faith would be termed a historical faith. And it's not what the Bible actually talks about in terms of saving faith. So let's move on to another type of faith. And that's what I would call miraculous faith. And so there are people who have faith that a miracle will occur, but that's not necessarily linked to a trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they might have faith that Jesus can perform miracles because they have a supernatural faith in that sense. And so we'd see things like people will come to Jesus for healing in the scriptures and they'll trust him for healing, but then once they've got the healing, that's all they want. And so they move away and there's nothing else. You know, the 10 lepers is probably the classic example. 10 lepers were healed by Jesus and only one actually came back to thank him and to acknowledge his lordship. The rest got what they wanted and moved on. And sadly, again, we see in the Christian church those whose faith in Jesus is only a faith in miracles, and they'll come to Jesus for miracles. Things get tough in life and they have difficulties, so they'll come to Jesus to make things better. But as soon as he's made things better, they'll move off and just live for themselves again. And again, this is not saving faith. It's only a trust that Jesus can rescue them out of their current troubles, which kind of leads us on to the next one, which is temporal faith. And that's a faith that is fleeting. Probably the classic example from scripture would be the parable of the sower. And he sows the seed, and some seed fell into shallow soil and it started to grow up and bear fruit, but then the root had no depth and so it withered and fell away. I guess this is people who have faith in the truths of religion, but there's no regeneration that comes. And so they're happy to be Christians when things are going good, but as soon as trouble comes, they find it difficult to persevere because it's a sort of a mental assent to what's going on. It's not a heartfelt thing. I'm sure you can think of many other examples of where people put their faith in things. For some, it's just faith in faith, that people believe that if they believe enough that they can get what they want and so on. But none of those things are actually what we're talking about when we talk about saving faith in Jesus Christ. The New City Catechism says, what is faith in Jesus Christ? Faith in Jesus Christ is acknowledging the truth of everything that God has revealed in his word, trusting him, and also receiving and resting on him alone for salvation as he is offered to us in the gospel. Another commentator has said that saving faith is a certain conviction wrought in the heart by the Holy Spirit as to the truth of the gospel and a hearty reliance on the promises of God in Christ. You see, to have faith in Christ, it's not enough just to have knowledge about Jesus. That's not what we're talking about. In Romans 1:32, it says, although they knew God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. And so we see throughout Scripture that just knowing the Bible, just knowing about Jesus, knowing the things that he said, isn't the thing that gives us the saving faith. There are many people who know about Jesus. There are many people who understand God's law, but they don't actually apply it. And the classic example in the New Testament is the Jewish people. They understood God's law. They understood the prophets, all of the messages that were building and pointing towards Jesus. And yet when Jesus was standing in front of them, they couldn't accept him as Lord. Because the knowledge wasn't sufficient to bring them to faith. Neither does knowledge mixed with approval lead to saving faith. So this is saying that, you know, we might know some stuff about Jesus and we might even agree that he is who he says he is, but that doesn't necessarily bring us to saving faith either. We see this with Nicodemus. It says in John chapter 3, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. And so Nicodemus is saying, I have knowledge about you, and I even approve of what you do, And Jesus replied, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. And so he says to Nicodemus, well, thanks for that, but you need to go further if you're really going to see the kingdom of God. It's not enough to just know about me and to approve of what I do. You're actually required to be changed into a new person if you're going to have saving faith. Wayne Grudem says, saving faith in Jesus Christ is trust in Jesus Christ as a living person for forgiveness of sins, for eternal life with God. I want to look at a couple of stories, a couple of accounts from the scriptures where Jesus commended people for their faith. And it's interesting that there are only really two times when Jesus used this term. He said, because of your great, he says, I haven't seen such great faith in all of Israel when he addresses these two people. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 7, first of all. And verse 1 says, when Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. And there a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, this man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. This is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one go and he goes, and that one come and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. So we find that true faith in Christ is belief in his authority. Now, there were times when the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, by whose authority do you do these things? They were constantly questioning Jesus' authority. They had knowledge about the Messiah. They may even have had sort of agreement that the things that Jesus were doing were good things, but they struggled with this idea of his authority. And yet the centurion sends for Jesus and he says, I understand you have authority. I have faith in your authority, and that authority is God's authority, which includes authority to heal. And so when we're talking about faith in Christ, we're talking about a belief, a deep-seated heart belief that Jesus is in authority, that he is the Son of God, and that he is able to do the things that he says that he will do. And so he has authority to forgive sin. That's part of our faith in Christ, that when he says that he will forgive our sins, that he actually has authority to do that, and that we can trust him in that, and that we don't have to doubt about whether our sins are actually forgiven, because we trust that he has authority to do what he said he would do. If we go to Matthew 15, we've got another example, and interesting that both of these people are Gentiles. They're not actually Jews or members of the house of Israel. Matthew 15 verse 21 says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. And the woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. And he replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. Always a bit of a confronting passage, because you think, Jesus, that's pretty mean to call this woman a dog. There's probably a few different reasons why he may have used that term. We're going to talk about one of them today, and that is that this woman was a Canaanite. Now, there was a bit of an issue, a bit of history between the Israelites and the Canaanites, and if you looked at the people on the earth, and there was Israel and those outside of Israel, but the ones who were most outside of Israel were the Canaanites. They were the people who possessed the land that God had given to the Israelites. And so from an Israeli perspective, the Canaanites were the lowest of the low and were considered to be dogs culturally by those who were of the house of Israel. Now, this woman comes to Jesus and she calls him Son of David, which is a really interesting phrase, because that's a term that's reserved for the Messiah, the promised king who would come. And here's this Canaanite woman, a woman who's outside of Israel, coming and referring to Jesus as the Messiah, the one who was to come to establish God's kingdom on the earth. And so Jesus says to her, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. And her response is not to say, how dare you call me a dog, because she understood that culturally, that's how she was considered. She understood that she was in no position to actually approach a Jewish man and ask him for anything. And interestingly, she also said, it is as you say, but, and she understood some stuff about God. She said, look, even the dogs eat what falls from the master's table. So understanding that culturally, when the evening meal was set, the children in the household would come and eat off of the father's plate. So the father had, plenty of provision there to make sure that the children were fed, and it was a place of acceptance and of grace toward the children in the household that they could come and eat from their father's plate. Dogs, of course, weren't considered all that clean, and so certainly in Israelite households, you wouldn't have dogs coming to the table to eat, but they might pick up the scraps around the place. But this woman recognized that in a godly household, even the dogs are looked after, and that they're allowed to come and eat the scraps that fall from the master's table. And so she says to Jesus, I recognize that I'm in a low position here. I understand I have, in myself, I have no right to come and ask you for these things, but I also understand that your grace, that your mercy is so large that it overflows, and I'm asking for some overflow that's from your table. Would you grant me this request? I recognize your authority as the Son of David. I recognize your position as the Messiah, as the one who's to come, and I'm asking, and I believe that there's mercy at your table for me. And Jesus is astounded, and he says, go away, your daughter's been healed. And she was. Faith in Jesus is faith in his grace and in his mercy. And when we acknowledge the fact that we don't deserve the grace and the mercy, we're just like the Canaanite woman. We come to Jesus and we've got nothing. And all we can do is acknowledge the fact that we are distant from him. We say, look, I'm a sinner. I'm offensive before you, and I recognize that, but I know that you've got mercy. And the thing that this Canaanite woman understood somehow, and it wasn't through knowledge, it was through you know, faith through this revelation, is that Jesus is the way to access the Father's table. It's the way to, he's the one who allows us to access the good things that God has, not because we deserve those things, but because the Son of God was willing to become, as it were, a dog and be treated like a criminal and crucified on our behalf, so that we who are dogs could be lifted up to become sons and children of the living God. See, faith in Jesus Christ, it's not about what we know about him. It's not about what we agree with him on, okay? It's about understanding and trusting in his authority, and understanding and trusting in his grace and his mercy that is more than sufficient to lift us who were separate from him to be participants at his table. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And the word "believe" here, it's translated "believes in him," but probably more literally, that word "believe" actually is that whoever believes into him. There's this sense that whoever believes that what he says is true and able to be trusted, that we can lean into Jesus, we can lean into his authority to forgive sin, we can lean into his authority to open up the Father's household to us, we can lean into his grace and his mercy to forgive us our sins. That's what it is to believe in Jesus. And we find that, you know how I said that knowledge isn't the same as faith. But when we come to faith, we find that the more we come to know Jesus, the more we come to understand about him, the more our faith increases. In Romans 10:17, it says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." So there's this sense in which we've got to hear some stuff, we've got to know some stuff about Jesus first, and that what happens is the Holy Spirit comes and puts a deposit of faith in our lives so that we can actually believe in Jesus' authority, and we can believe in his grace and mercy. And through that, we come to understand what this belief is about. We come to understand and be able to respond in a more appropriate way. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." You see, our faith in Christ is only possible because Jesus is the author of that faith. He's the one who has written that faith, and he's the one who perfects that faith in our lives. The faith that we have in Christ is not there because we've worked it out. It's there because he's put it there. And we've talked about this, that we can only come to trust in Jesus and to have faith in him if he first reveals himself to us. And then we respond by acknowledging his authority and acknowledging his goodness and his mercy. So what is faith in Jesus Christ? Faith in Jesus Christ is acknowledging the truth of everything that God has revealed in his word, trusting in him, and also receiving and resting on him alone for salvation, as he is offered to us in the gospel. You see, true faith doesn't try to work it out by ourselves. It's not like faith is something that we have to drum up within ourselves. Faith is a trusting. It's a leaning into. It's a relaxing into who God is, accepting his authority and accepting his mercy.